Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been studying in the book of Acts, and I wanted to take the opportunity to address some doctrinal issues that often surface when the book of Acts is studied. And this is one of those, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some would believe that this is something that's operative today. And some would believe that because of that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit being operative today, that people should be able to do some of the things that the apostles did that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, what was the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What resulted from it? Should we pray for it today? Is it the baptism commanded in the Great Commission when Jesus instructed the apostles to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you? When he instructed them to go and teach and baptize, was it the Holy Spirit baptism of which he was speaking? Is it then the one baptism that we read about Ephesians 4:4? There is one baptism. That's a lot of questions, but I hope that we'll seek to answer some of those as we study, primarily from the book of Acts, Holy Spirit baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And notice this point, number one, Holy Spirit baptism was a promise and not a command. It was a promise and not a command. There's no record where anyone was commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's no instruction given as to what anyone must do in order to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If it were a command, then it must be obeyed. But what we find are promises that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Not commands, but promises. And let me highlight a few verses for you. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, John promised that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John said. But he who is coming after me, speaking of Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I believe the baptism of fire, and if you keep reading from that passage, you'll see, refers to the punishment of hell fire, which will come later for the unrepentant, for those who reject Christ. But here John says, he, speaking of Jesus, who's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, he will, a promise made here, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus called this the promise of his Father. Look with me, Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, he's speaking to the apostles here. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So here's a promise. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed or endued with power from on high. Shortly before his ascension, Jesus promised the apostles that they would soon be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is over in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, and again, as the context shows you, it's the apostles, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Then he quotes, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the promise of the Father and this being baptized with the Holy Spirit are one and the same. And he's telling his apostles, again, I told you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And that's going to happen when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would give them power. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or my witnesses, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they would receive power. Miraculous power, we'll see. This promise was fulfilled on just a few days later on the following Pentecost day. We read about it in Acts chapter 2. And let me refresh your memories. Acts chapter 2 and the first four verses. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, the apostles, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I believe what we're reading there is a fulfillment of the promise of the Father that Jesus said that he's going to fulfill with the apostles, and that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. When it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, this was a fulfillment of that outpouring, that overwhelming of the Holy Spirit. And the power that Jesus promised was evidenced by the fact that they were able to speak with other tongues. They were able to speak miraculously in languages that they had never studied before. And again, the emphasis is, this was a promise given to the apostles, and it's fulfilled. We have not read of a command to be baptized with the Holy Spirit baptism, but it was a promise made to the apostles, and here we see it is fulfilled. After the Spirit had come upon them, Peter, as he begins to preach about Christ here in Acts chapter 2, identifies this experience as the fulfillment of this promise. Look with me, Acts 2 and verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, speaking of Jesus, he's exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So Peter again is emphasizing the promise is fulfilled now. The promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, has been poured out upon the apostles in fulfillment of that promise of Holy Spirit baptism. Now in Acts chapter 10, we read about Cornelius and his household. And Cornelius and his household receive what we can call a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an outpouring that has many similarities, Peter would point out, with the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2, but not completely identical as far as the power that was given. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But notice in Acts chapter 10, in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, and he's speaking to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jews, or the Jews who become Christians, who believed, were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. You remember Cornelius is called the first Gentile convert. That didn't come but without revelation from God. They were resistant to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with the Gentiles. At first it was just spread to the Jews. In fact, it takes divine revelation for Peter and the apostles to share the gospel with the non-Jews, with the Gentiles. And so they're amazed, these people, these Jewish Christians who are with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues, with other tongues, and magnify God. So a lot of similarities here between what the apostles experienced on the day of Pentecost, and now Cornelius and his household are baptized with the Spirit, if you will, and are enabled to speak with other tongues, with other languages that they had not studied, and they're magnifying God. And watch Peter's response to this, verse 47. Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. But notice here, we'll see in just a moment as Peter is retelling this, what happened at Cornelius' household. And he's reminded of what John had said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that statement came to Peter as these events are transpiring before him at the household of Cornelius. But the Holy Spirit is outpoured, fills, or we can say baptizes Cornelius and his household, enabling them to speak with other tongues, just as the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles. And so Peter, witnessing this is before he's gotten to the part, this is while he was still speaking about Jesus that this happens. And before he gets to the part about, in order to accept this gift of salvation, you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. But witnessing this, Peter says, can we forbid them from being baptized? Can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit? And so he commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. This is a different baptism than Holy Spirit baptism that they've just experienced. There was no direct promise to Cornelius and his household that they be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were commanded to be baptized in water, which was the commandment, the baptism of the Great Commission. That is the one that's been commanded. The baptism of the Great Commission. Again, Matthew 28. Jesus said to his apostles, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This was the baptism that was commanded to Cornelius and his household. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise and not a command. A promise and not a command. The baptism of the Great Commission is water baptism. It's the baptism required of all. And thus it is the one baptism of Ephesians 4 and verse 4. But let's consider it from this vantage point as well. Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ directly from heaven without the use of a human administrator. This was something Jesus did, in other words, without any human involvement. Holy Spirit baptism was not administered by man, but by Christ. It was done immediately, directly, by Christ himself, without any human intervention or aid. Let me underscore a couple of passages that we've already cited. Matthew 3, verse 11, what John said Jesus would do. John says, I baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Notice, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles in Acts chapter 2 were baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was nothing that anyone did in order to assist Christ in this baptism. They were simply waiting, weren't they? Waiting for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. Christ sent the Spirit. Remember of Jesus, Peter said, this Jesus whom God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Holy Spirit baptism was done by Christ himself without human involvement. Same thing happened with Cornelius and his household, right? Peter's preaching the gospel. He's telling them about Jesus. When suddenly the Holy Spirit falls upon them. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard. Now, Acts chapter 11, Peter's retelling this experience. And listen to what he says. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And that's a reference to the apostles in Acts chapter 2. Similarly, how the Holy Spirit fell upon them, it had fallen upon Cornelius and his household. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it comes to Peter's mind. Peter's saying, aha, this is a fulfillment of what Jesus had said about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? I didn't include the next verse, but those who had objected, who had some objections to the gospel being shared with the Gentiles, now said, we understand. God has granted repentance and life to the Gentiles as well. The baptism commanded in the Great Commission was administered by man. Go, teach, baptize, Jesus instructed. Acts chapter 8, Philip baptized the eunuch. There was human involvement in fulfilling and obeying that command of the Great Commission baptism. Holy Spirit baptism, again, was a promise. Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ and him alone. Number three, consider the purposes of Holy Spirit baptism. While it is a fact that the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Cornelius and his household also received a baptism or an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the key to understanding this is to understand the purpose of why this was done. What was the purpose of Holy Spirit baptism? The fact that the apostles received a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the further reality that the Gentiles were also given a similar experience a while later, does not mean either of the following. It does not mean it was for the same purpose in both cases, nor does it mean that the equivalent authority was bestowed upon these that received it in both cases. Let me distinguish that. Let's ask number one, why did the apostles receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The short answer is to guide them in teaching the gospel in an infallible way. The Spirit would bring to their memories the things they had learned from the Savior. Jesus had told them such. John 14, 26, speaking to the apostles. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I wish I had that gift, that I could remember everything that I've been taught through the years. I don't have that gift. The apostles didn't have to worry about trying to remember everything that Jesus said, because that was one of the functions of the Holy Spirit for them, that he would bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had taught them. Not only that, Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth and declare unto them things to come. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Why did the apostles receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? To guide them into all truth, to bring to their memory everything that Jesus had taught them, and also to enable them to confirm the word that they would preach with miraculous signs. They were given the power of inspiration, but also the power of working a wide variety of miracles. That's why, as we begin in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 33 and so forth, we'll read how the apostles did many signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit enabled them to do that. And they were able to perform these miracles to confirm the fact that yes, they were messengers from God. And that the word that they were preaching was in fact from God. The miracles they performed confirmed the word. The apostles also had the power to lay hands on others and impart miraculous spiritual gifts. This was the purpose of Holy Spirit baptism for the apostles. To guide them into all truth. To enable them to perform miracles, among other things. The apostles have no successors today. The gospel message is embodied in the sacred scriptures of the New Testament. We have the revealed Word of God. And so the purposes of Holy Spirit baptism have been fulfilled. Number two, why did Cornelius and his household receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, the baptism of the Spirit at the house of Cornelius was different in design from that received by the apostles. Though both of them were evidenced by the ability to speak with other tongues, other languages. In both cases, that the power of the Spirit was evident in that fashion. However, there's no evidence that Cornelius had teaching powers that would be equivalent to what the apostles had. There's no indication that the centurion, that Cornelius, could lay his hand upon other people and impart to them spiritual gifts. Only the apostles had that power. So what was the purpose for Cornelius and his household to receive this outpouring, this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Wayne Jackson made this quote: "The purpose for which Cornelius was granted the Spirit was to demonstrate to the Jews that God was ready for the gospel to be offered to the Gentiles," which circumstance constituted a problem in the thinking of the Hebrews. And you look at it in its context. As Peter began preaching Christ, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls upon them and they're able to speak with other tongues. And Peter, no doubt, as well as those accompanying him, are amazed at what's happening. And you remember his first response? "Can any forbid water that these should be baptized?" In other words, and this wasn't the only message he had gotten from God. He'd received a revelation. We'll talk about that more later. But he understood clearly, here is God's message, that the Gentiles need the gospel of Jesus. And it's God's will that we share the gospel with the Gentiles as well. That was the reason for this outpouring of the Spirit upon Cornelius and his household. And one other point as we conclude. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was not into Christ or for the forgiveness of sins. As has been shown, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was connected with the revelation and confirmation of the New Testament truth. It was not in order to bring remission of sins. It did not put a person into Christ. Otherwise, it would have been required by all. Cornelius is the example. Cornelius and his household had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he still had to be baptized into Christ. "Can anyone forbid water," Peter asks, "that these should not be baptized, who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" They had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they still had their sins. They needed to be baptized into Christ, which was water baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. All that this Holy Spirit baptism had done was to identify, to emphasize to Peter, they need the gospel too. And if they'll accept it, they need to be baptized into Christ as well. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they ask him to stay a few days. You see, the baptism of the Great Commission, which is in water and to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, is for the forgiveness of sins. We've been studying that on Sunday mornings. And most every Sunday morning, we remember Peter's words, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." This is the baptism of the Great Commission, not Holy Spirit baptism, but baptism of the Great Commission. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let me whet your appetite. Is the Holy Spirit involved in the baptism of the Great Commission? I say yes. How so? You got to stay tuned for that one. But it's not Holy Spirit baptism that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, nor that Cornelius and his household experienced, Acts chapter 10. And for us to expect the same type of gifts is to misunderstand the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what's the one baptism? Ephesians 4:4. It's to be baptized in water, baptized into Christ, so that your sins can be washed away by His blood. And one who is a penitent believer is ready to do that. That's the one that's commanded. That's the one that all of us must accept and obey in order to receive the benefits that Jesus promised, that He attached to our obedience. And perhaps there's some tonight that desire to be baptized into Christ. If that be the case, we hope and pray you'll do so tonight. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, please let that be known as well. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.